You could have fooled me. I had no idea.
Well, I can play that song really well.
Lots of practice.
Has it been a long week? Do you need a break?
Are you stressed? Stuck in your job? Maybe you need an escape.
I'm Beth Dybel.
I'm Tatiana Abaro.
And I'm Ezekiel Kajakai. And this
is Escape Break,
where we discuss all things escape rooms in Southern California.
The good.
The bad.
The funny.
And don't forget the awkward.
Trust me, I wish I could.
This show is just on the horizon. Get ready to sit back, relax, stop working, and take a break with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Escape Break today. I hope you're as excited as Tati and I, because we have two stellar individuals who have changed the game of escape rooms. We have Jonathan and Ben Burke of the Ministry of Peculiarities. Hello, guys. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're excited to have you. It's been a long time coming. Had to let Tati get some travel time in to actually play the game.
Yes.
Today, we have a long list of questions for you, all in good fun. We won't be spoiling the game for anyone who hasn't played Hope End. So please stick around and listen. And hopefully this encourages you to play this spectacular game. But before we get started, I wanted to ask you guys, are you nervous?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't expect you to be. I will say Tati and I do have a surprise for you in the middle of this show. We won't tell you what it is, but I feel both of you will be perfect for the surprise. But let's just get started with some general questions. If you don't know who Ministry of Peculiarity is, they're out in Azusa in California. They have one stellar adventure called Hope End, which is a mixture of escape rooms and immersive theater. Everyone loves it, in my opinion. And if you don't love it, that probably says something about you. But I'm going to let Tati lead the way in asking the first question here as we get to this interview.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what your guys' background was before you even started escape rooms, because I feel like you guys created such a unique experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was extremely well prepared to create an escape room because my background is in English teaching.
Same.
Yeah, I actually still have a day job. I work at a tiny university in Rosemead, and I'm the head of basically an ESL department. I mean, you know, my background in terms of Hope End is just really enjoying, you know, doing escape games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, the same. I was teaching English abroad for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years before coming back to do this. But really, it was just, you know, having played a lot of, you know, point and click adventure games, you know, following the online escape room as it kind of developed, and then, you know, being interested in creating that in real life.
Nice. All right. Have you played The Mist or the Witness? What have you played?
Earlier, one of my favorites is Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Oh wow!
Oh,
you played Mist, surely?
Oh, Mist. Yeah, Mist is a great one. I missed that reference.
Oh,
wonderful! The room itself is a very story driven adventure. From playing it, you can tell there's a lot of detail involved. How long would you generally say it took you to create the story, have the vision of bringing it to life, and then getting to opening day?
Well, it was, making me relive past trauma.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So it was probably 2017. Yeah, it was 2017 when we started writing Hope End. My business partner and I, you know, we decided we wanted to open an escape room. And so we were going through some of the, you know, let's find a location, let's figure out what we can afford, let's raise some money, like that kind of thing. And in the meantime, we were all kind of trying to put together, well, we knew we kind of wanted to do something story driven. So we were all trying to like come up with, you know, scenarios or stories. And so Hope End was mine. You know, all three of us contributed to it, of course. But, you know, I was the one, it was the story that I started like 7 years ago now.
Wow.
A lot of ideas came together really quickly, but then kind of languished for years as we well, you know, as we were stuck in development hell and permitting process, and when we got our building, there was no, well, not our building, when we got our units, there were no walls up. And so there's just a massive amount of construction that had to be done. And so we were already behind schedule, but we were supposed to open in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. And then COVID basically gave us another year and a half to perfect everything, quote unquote. So the first, I don't know, 40% was quick, and the last 60% was a horrendously long, drawn out process. But it gave us time to, you know, learn a lot and put a lot together that might not have been how it is otherwise, I guess.
And in this game, there are several actors that you'll meet throughout the adventure, one of them being the main actor, if you will, Dolores. What is the process you guys look for in recruiting Dolores's, and how much freedom do you give Dolores in the game to improv with the players as opposed to just straight through the script, if you will?
Yeah. So we had a couple of mainstay actors for a really long time. We had just two, but
since, Jace, of course.
Jace, yes. Yeah. Who did Tatiana? I can't remember.
Do you remember her name?
I believe it was Emma.
Oh, Emma. Yeah. Oh, nice. So, you know, just kind of from the beginning, we've been really, it's been really important to us to work with working actors. We think they bring a lot to the game. So there is a script, especially, you know, kind of in the beginning, you know, it's in verse and they memorize these things. But kind of as the game has gone through development over the past 2 or 2.5 years, we've given them a lot of freedom. Each Dolores is pretty different. And so if you get a different actor, you will have a different experience for sure. And so, we look for people who are comfortable interacting with people and kind of drawing them into the story.
Just to kind of give you an example. Yeah, the end of the game is almost entirely unscripted. So every Dolores does it a little bit differently. And yeah, I mean, it's so funny to, compare performances, you know, they're so different. Everybody brings something different to the table, and that's one of the things we like. I suppose we should be, well, we want consistency, but you know, part of this is our creative outlet too, and so to be able to provide that for some actors has been kind of cool.
Yeah, as someone who's played the game twice, and of course one of the main pain points of escape rooms being replayability, I thoroughly enjoyed the second time around. It was different than my first time around, and that's a unique element to get those wrinkles in there because of a different actor. Now, also, Ben, there's a gentleman that looks almost exactly like you named Mr. Higgins that is a great actor that's there too. Can you speak about him a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He's ducking in and out all the time. So the other character that you'll interact with is a front of house character, and part of the ministry, which is kind of the frame story of Hope End. You know, for a long time, that was me. We've got some other front of house characters that have they have all developed their own character and with fairly little guidance. They've all started out as Dolores, and so they overhear a lot and I think have kind of absorbed how to be a part of the ministry through that. Kind of zany, madcap is our style for the ministry lobby experience.
That's so cool. How do you guys find these people? Because I feel like finding a game master, a great game master, is hard in itself. And then to add the acting element on top of that, mm-hmm. where do you find these people?
Well, I mean, okay. At first it was, Oh my God, somebody please work for us, you know, as COVID was ending. But I mean, it's kind of like what Benjamin said before, like we look for actors first. When we started out, Benjamin was GMing everything and I was doing a little bit, but I'm not as good at it. And then, you know, as we, you know, our first crossover was Jace, right? Like she wanted to be able to GM to kind of like, you know, take some of the work off Ben's plate and, you know, work some more hours and stuff like that. And so it's always been an actor first, and then we will do GM training. It helps that the GM also acts, right? Those front of house.
Right, right. They learn through the process of watching the players go through. It makes it really pretty easy to onboard them as a GM because they kind of understand the experience. They understand, you know, the frustrations of the players and that kind of thing.
You guys have put together one of my favorite rooms, and I thank you for that. What does it feel like to be internationally recognized for all of the hard work that you guys put into this room?
Okay, he's looking at me like I'm going to have to answer this. we all have some imposter syndrome, you know, especially me and him, you know, like we have fairly similar personalities. We're brothers, is what, you know, kind of the way we were raised to deflect compliments and stuff. And it's also been like, you know, astounding because, you know, like when we were about to open, I think we both kind of had the fear, like what we've created is a pile of crap. And to just have people respond well to it has felt really great. But yeah, I mean, I think I can speak for both of us when we both say like, well, we think we can do better. There are things we still want to fix. I guess all this to say, like, I don't think it really gets to our head very much.
I love that. You guys are so humble. Well, I think you guys created something great, and we'll hype you up if you don't hype yourself up.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, we're here. We're here to support you no matter what. And we're excited for whatever is up in that mind of yours and what you guys create. That being said, not everyone is going to love Hope End. So for the people that don't love Hope End, someone who doesn't like Hope End also probably doesn't like blank. How would you finish that sentence?
I would say RPGs. Huh?
Okay. Okay.
That's a good comparison.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. You know, if you come to Hope End and you're not ready to be, you don't want to be part of the story, or you kind of want to feel like you're left alone to solve everything and, you know, get out and get a time at the end, you're probably not going to like Hope End. And that's okay, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, for that type of experience. I enjoy that type of experience. It's just not kind of what we were doing here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't even think it's controversial to say that, like, we're not as we're not puzzle driven. Like we're story driven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we pay a lot of attention to the puzzles, but we've also had to, like change puzzles up to kind of like aim for that, you know, average segments. You know, we want people to have success. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're also not an escape room that where we want, like, okay, well, you know, the top 10% of players are going to get out and just barely, and the, you know, the bottom 50% are just going to fail, and we're going to have the GM come in the room and be like, nice try, guys. Our story is meant to be experienced from start to finish. Right. And so I think that has led to a bit of a different experience than some people are expecting. And we want everybody to enjoy it. And if they don't, that's okay. We know we're not everybody's cup of tea.
Absolutely. I think you're most people's cup of tea. Now, for the people that are maybe timid or shy to add to the interaction, because the game starts mm-hmm. as soon as you get there, how do you guys go about it and coach and interact with teams that maybe are shy? Do you have an approach to try to get them to open up?
I try to get people involved, you know, personally, and I advise the front of house people to do that as well, as soon as they come in the door. So they're constantly approaching people and, you know, eliciting reactions from them. We have some, you know, a kind of a lot of standardized gags in the lobby, some interactive pieces, and, you know, having it be kind of a lighthearted comedy kind of feel, I think, is effective in breaking down that barrier that people put up in terms of not wanting to interact. We'll still get some people that are really not quite sure what to make of it, but usually around by like the midpoint of the experience, Dolores is able to break them down.
Yeah, I would say, like, okay, for the most timid people, I think a really good example, this hasn't happened in a while, and you know, Jace, for example, has pulled people aside and told them, you know, what to expect in order to not kind of spoil everybody else's experience, but also to make sure those people feel comfortable. That's one of our main objectives, is to try to provide people a positive customer experience, even for people that are like, don't want to pretend like they're actors.
And, you know, just kind of giving an opportunity for play. We want people to play, whatever that means for them.
One thing I noticed that you guys talked about is the time aspect. So in escape room, some people are like, oh, I need to get out. I have 5 minutes left. I found myself not even thinking about time in your room. And I honestly don't even know our escape time. Like, I have no idea, which thinking about it now is not the norm. And I love that, but I still had one of the best times and experiences. Do you guys even track the time?
We get this question a lot, and it's I always feel very awkward answering it because you know, it really depends on a lot of it's difficult to compare different experiences, right? Because some of the time is taken up with how much does Dolores interact with the group. And so we have a general timer because we want people to get through the story. We also want, you know, the pacing to feel kind of consistent from group to group, but it's really not a puzzle timer. So there's kind of a general sense of, oh, this team didn't need a lot of help to get through. They kind of answered all the questions themselves. They went really fast. They were tracking with the puzzles, but no timer. Yeah, we have 3 clocks in the experience and none of them work.
It's my fault. You know, it's something that we've kind of figured out over doing this hundreds of times is like, okay, if they spend 40 minutes in the first 2 rooms, they're, you know, that's not a good time for anybody. Like he was saying, just kind of figuring out pacing. It's sometimes been hard because like we have a group coming in and the group's not quite done. And so that's kind of something we've kind of had to, you know, feel out over time.
No, it's cool. I love that I didn't even focus on that. Kai, do you want to do it now or do you want to continue with the question?
How mysterious. Yeah, we can do it now. So
yeah? Okay.
We're going to reveal your surprise here. And Jonathan, the surprise is mainly for you, but Ben, I think you'll enjoy it. Today is your birthday, Jonathan.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Woo! Happy birthday.
Oh,
so I wanted to ask and say happy birthday. Do you know what Mad Libs are?
Oh, of course.
All right. We're going to do a Mad Lib.
Cool.
Okay. And it involves your birthday. Of course, you're not going to know what the story is, but we're going to ask you for some types of words. You can answer however you want. They'll be woven into a story that we've already written. And we're going to see how goofy or reasonable it sounds. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So first, and you guys can either answer together or you can alternate whatever you want to do. Jonathan, if you want to share with your brother on your birthday, you can.
Okay, I'll share.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The first thing I need is a year.
1988.
Next, I need an adjective.
Spooky.
Okay. Then I'm going to need an activity. Actually, 2 activities. So you could each give me 1.
Plumbing.
Yoga.
I'm going to need a country.
Zambia.
I'm going to need a animal, but the plural form of the animal.
Geese.
I was thinking geese.
I'll need another adjective.
Corpulent.
What does that mean?
Does it mean like dead?
No. I think it...
it's a good guess, though, with the corpse.
Chubby. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping it refers to geese and not myself.
All right. After corpulent, I'll need a name of a building, type of building.
Strip mall.
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
That is acceptable. And then I'll need a plural noun.
Dingoes.
Dingoes?
Yeah.
Okay.
D-I-N-G-O?
Yeah.
Like the dog?
Yes.
I'll need a number.
42.
42. Answer to life. I'll need a hobby ending in I-N-G.
Knitting.
And I'll need a family member, like a type of family member, but the plural of them.
Stepsisters.
Okay. And then 2 more. I need a city name.
Peoria.
Peoria. And an emotion.
Disgusted.
Okay.
Disgust.
Disgust.
Are you ready for your story, gentlemen?
We're ready.
As a sincere happy birthday to you, Jonathan.
Okay.
We wrote this story together.
Excellent.
The legend of Jonathan Burke.
Uh-oh.
On February 19th, 1988. A creative baby was born named Jonathan Burke. Jonathan was a spooky child who enjoyed yoga in the daytime and plumbing in the night.
Accurate.
While Jonathan had a good upbringing, he was accidentally left in Zambia and survived being raised by geese.
Can't imagine a better childhood.
It was this experience that allowed him and his brother Ben to create the corpulent adventure called the Ministry of Peculiarities.
I'll take it. No regrets.
Before it was a hit game, they considered calling it the Strip Mall of Dingoes.
But why didn't we go with that?
Despite the name change and 42 other versions, the award-winning ministry took the world by storm. There were fans from all over, but particularly people who enjoyed knitting, and stepsisters in Peoria were the biggest supporters. If you haven't played the ministry, please look to play it soon, or else you might end up feeling disgusted.
Nice.
There's your story, gentlemen. You. Happy birthday to you, Jonathan.
Thank you so much.
Truly touching.
All right, let's get back to the Strip Mall of Dingoes with some questions from Tati.
Let's do
Tati's
it.
Birthday. Not birthday, sorry.
Well, it could be, birthday. Sure.
Tati's 300th room was spent at the ministry, and you guys had a little surprise, which leads me to Tati's question here.
Yes, so you guys are known for having the accordion, and that is one, I think it's pretty unique as an instrument in itself. But the fact that you know how to play it. So I would love to know the history of when did you learn? Did you learn just for this? Do you do it in your spare time?
Yeah. Okay. So it goes way back. You know, we all grew up kind of musical, you know, me and my brothers and sister, you know, there's five of us. And, you know, so when I went to college, you know, I was originally like a music major, you know, I was really into it, the kind of thing I'd talk about a lot. And so when I was a college freshman, the music nerd, obviously I was paired to be roommates with a football jock. And we got to be good friends. He was this guy named JD. And his voice is really deep, like, oh, hey, Jonathan, it's JD. And one day he comes to me and he's like, you know, like, hey, when I was a kid, my parents made me take accordion lessons, and I still have my accordion. Do you want it? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And so ever since then, the accordion has popped up in you know, my social situations. We used to go caroling every Christmas, and you know, play the accordion and the mandolin. And we actually did that as the ministry, I don't know, last year, the year before, or something like that.
Our first Christmas, I believe.
Yeah. You know, my kids like it, but having kids means there's not really time to to play it or practice it or something. So honestly, I'm not that good at accordion, but I do pop it out to play. We both, you know, I pop it out to play Happy Birthday when we know that there's a birthday coming through. So, yeah.
You could have fooled me. I had no idea.
Well, I can play that song really well.
Lots of practice. Yeah. Yes, I loved that. I was so surprised because I had no idea that that was even going to happen. And so I was like, this is fantastic. Oh my gosh. Okay. I also am curious to know what it's like to work with your brother.
I've been answering him. Okay, fine. It's great. You know, Ben takes care of so much of the day-to-day. He's done hundreds of runs in the past, you know, 2.5 years or however long it's been. And, you know, just someone whose opinion I trust. Like, if I have an idea that I want to try out and I want to know if it sucks, you know, he'll let me know. I think his ideas are really funny. It annoys me how much of a better actor he is than I am. Because I do front of house. I haven't done it in a long time, but I used to do it from time to time. But yeah, he's way better than me.
Oh, so. The secret is just make a character that is as awkward as your real self. And everybody thinks you're a really good actor. Yeah. But yeah, no, the ministry is a family operation. Our older brother comes out and he's a character as well that we both think is hilarious.
Professor McGillicuddy, if anybody runs into him.
Yes.
And and my business partner is, or my wife's cousin.
Our other brother did the music for Hope Ann.
Very cool.
Our great uncle is... we have a portrait hanging in the hallway. We have a bust up there. It's kind of a big, pulled together from all of our family.
Yeah, we're big scavengers too, if you can't tell.
I think that's pretty cool. Did you guys get along as kids? Or now that you're older, you're like, eh, I guess you're cool.
I guess so. We're 5 years apart. So especially once like school was, you know, we had very different, you know, very different parts of life. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old or a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old. So yeah.
I'd say I kind of followed in his footsteps, learning, you know, kooky musical instruments, doing things in college. He graduated and did a Fulbright in Eastern Europe. And then I graduated and did a Fulbright in Eastern Europe. Yeah, it's been that. And now we've created this thing together, again, for better or worse.
I always say I've ruined his life by drawing him into this.
So, yeah. I don't know what to say to that. I don't think you have, but in my opinion.
Well, ask us in 5 years, I guess.
Okay, sounds good. When I spoke to you guys about what's the future, you mentioned a lot about learning so much from Hope End. You guys, again, you're humble and you're very modest, but you said that you wish you could redo it all and that you learned a lot of lessons. I am curious to know what some of those lessons are.
A big one that is kind of, you know, just going through and fine-tuning puzzles. Obviously, we hadn't done an experience like this before. And so we've changed a lot of the puzzles, maybe make them more intuitive, just kind of make them more fun. A lot of times the things that I think will be fun end up being too kind of convoluted for people.
Well, I don't know. The example that comes to mind for me is when I started writing Hope End, it was a lot higher concept.
Oh yeah.
And so over the years, it changed. It was not kooky, right? Maybe kooky is not the right word, but the way that it turned out is so much better than the way it started. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what that has to do with what I would redo now, but
I mean, just developing from the beginning, you know, having a sense of what the audience likes, and kind of building to that.
Well, I mean, it's not even about like or preference. It's more of like I think we have a much better sense for how to interact with people, how to reach people. And I think for our next experience, we're going to be able to do that in a way that is more effective and hopefully, more fun for the participants, for the people to come through.
You know,
that's crazy.
I'd say from the beginning, you know, Dolores was kind of we wrote her to be an unapproachable character kind of thing, you know, mysterious, guarded. It has totally changed from that, and letting the actors make the character their own figure out their own ways to draw people into the story, I think is something that's really valuable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been like so much co-creation done by our actors, not only in terms of Dolores, but in terms of, you know, how the experience progresses. And that's been great.
I think it's interesting that you say it's going to be an even better interaction for the customer.
I hope so.
I thought the interaction was great. And to your point about the puzzles being convoluted in the beginning, I feel like that's a common thing when people are first building a room, because you know what it is and what it's supposed to be. But then when someone else comes and play it, you're like, why don't they know? They don't understand, or how did they solve it that way? So I feel like that's a very common thing amongst owners.
Yeah, to kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, like that's something that we often struggle with our GMs with, especially when they're training, right? Like, why don't these people understand this or that? And it's like, well, they don't have any of the context that you have Like, we've seen this hundreds and hundreds of times. And, you know, this is someone seeing it for the very first time. You know, of course, it's going to take them a while to get their bearings. But yeah, I will say Rich from Trapped, when we were first starting out, said something like, no matter how easy you think your puzzles are that you're writing, they're going to be too hard. Mm-hmm. And that it's way easier to write a puzzle that is too hard than it is to write a puzzle that's too easy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't believe him, but like it's been totally true. and I'm not trying to say that people are stupid, but I mean, it has to do with what I was just saying. Like, it has to do with like lacking context. What makes perfect sense to me, because I literally created the context, is not going to make sense to someone without providing them some sort of orientation, right? Like, to their surroundings.
I would be a fan of the hard puzzles if you ever release them on the side as an add-on.
Yeah, we should have. especially the light and dark room.
Yeah. Adjustable. Yeah.
All right, guys.
I am a fan. I am a fan of those rooms.
Yeah, it's a great adventure throughout. Now, I know we've been peppering you guys with questions. You guys now have the opportunity to ask us a question. It can be about whatever you'd like. And then after that, we'll answer truthfully, and we'll actually end the episode with one more question to you guys.
And you guys get two questions, since there's two of you.
What would you like to see in a future ministry experience?
I would like to see something that allows the group to even more so decide like the fate of the game. There are games that provide you with a choice at the end. Generally speaking, each result is, you don't miss anything. But I would actually like to see a game where whatever choice you make dramatically changes the route of the game, which may even open a window to coming back and doing it one more time.
Great idea. That's yes. We've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
it's difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course. Oh, yeah. Execution aside.
I honestly don't have anything to add. I really don't.
I want to see nothing.
I want to see nothing. Thank you very much. No, I don't know what else I'm missing from you guys, if that makes sense.
So, can we give you another medal?
Okay. I love that. No, but just like the actor interaction. Like, so for me personally, I'm very scared about things, especially when there's actors involved. So I thought the level of spookiness and interaction was fantastic. It didn't make me so scared that I couldn't move in your room. But that's a preference for me. Like, maybe somebody else might say, I do want it to be more spooky or scary. But I thought the level was there. I thought the puzzles were smart. They went very well with the theme. And obviously they were thought about because of some of the elements that show you when you solve them, what you guys added into the room. But I felt like there, like that still had an impact on the game. And as someone who did get to experience the end, it's really cool to know that the experience is unique to that person. And it really felt like that. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I think you guys are doing fantastic. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't even know how you guys are so hard on yourselves, because you really created something amazing.
Well, now I just feel like I was fishing for compliments, which was not an intention.
You were not. You were not.
Okay, so here's my question. You have both done a ton of escape rooms, definitely more than Ben or I have done. And, you know, you're based in LA. LA has kind of become this mecca. What do you see as a weakness of the LA community? What is it that we should have but don't, or something like that? Not we, but, you know, the community.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was parking. Parking is such a pain.
We'll get right on that.
Yeah. I mean, you guys had no problem with that. So when I'm thinking about LA, I'm thinking about the downtown so congested. That in itself is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But I also think that the maintenance of the rooms in some of those busier areas that just allow walk-ins, some of the upkeep is not to nor a good standard.
That's you can tell that it, for us too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel like everything was worn. But in some rooms in LA, and even the more popular ones, you could see the wear and tear. So for me, I think those would be aspects of the room. I do like how a lot of them do have some actors. And again, I'm not into the scary stuff, so I can't speak to those. But if it's still whimsical or like a fun topic and theme, I'm all for it. So parking and wearing jeans. Love it.
I feel one of the places to improve overall for looking at that LA area is there's a lot of games that are coming out with so much money put into the sets. So they look amazing, but I think there's not enough focus on how much time is actually being spent in the adventure. So you could do an amazing looking room and get done in 25 minutes out of the 60, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather have a little bit more balance in even coming down on the sets prices and focusing on how many activities are involved and then how can we get some sort of bracket of time that most groups are finishing in so they're getting their hours worth or whatever the time limit is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, without trying to sound like I'm pandering, you know, again, I'm sure you're towards the upper tier of players. So it's probably more of a problem for you than for a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's such a good criticism and, you know, to kind of see the pendulum swing this way or that way, where mm-hmm. it's like a few years ago, there was a lot of focus on like, oh, well, you know, I'm tired of walking into rooms and it looks like an office or something, which is, you know, it's a valid criticism. And so now it's like, okay, well, we're going to pour money into sets. And then, okay, well, that takes away from what the people are actually doing in the room. Mm. And yeah, I think that's got to be the customer experience, the user experience, like should be number one. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
So, yeah,
yeah, I definitely track with you there as far as, you know, like appreciating the experience. If I like going with a group where everybody else is more excited to play than I am so that I can just kind of watch the experience,
Same.
Take in the sets, that kind of thing. I don't want to ask for hints. I don't want to get out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Certainly
the group can change that time frame as well. So they're a factor. I like how in Ministry, and I'm not sure if this is how you wrote it, but it feels like there are scenes. You have like your opening scene, the middle scene, and this kind of like second to end scene, and then the finale. That's cool to me because whatever the time is, I feel like, oh, wow, that's a lot of scenes to experience. And I like that, regardless of the number of puzzles, regardless of the actual time. And I think the problem is across escape rooms is there's no bar to match or there's no one size fits all, which is the hardest mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah. And it really is hard to make sure that, yeah, okay, like, okay, people that are really fast at getting through rooms and people who like to take their time, like, you know, trying to make it so that they both have a good experience is a really challenging thing.
Yeah.
But it's worth spending a lot of time on.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
We had, you know, our first couple months that we were open, we were, you know, kind of sustained by the escape room enthusiast community.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so,
right, absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, kind of since then, we, you know, a huge proportion of our groups have not played an escape room before. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting learning how to deal with that.
Well, we're here to help tell everyone to go sustain the Ministry because it really is worth playing despite us playing hundreds and hundreds of rooms. And of course, you've had people there at the Ministry that have played many more than us. Everyone comes out and raves about it and wants people to play. So we're here to echo that message. Of course, with, you know, respect to the confidentiality of what's ahead, our final question to you is, what is ahead and what can mm-hmm. you tell us right now?
Oh, sure. Okay. So we've really been like going full bore on the, you know, on our second experience. Yeah. Our next room is going to concern the afterlife. Mm-hmm. It's story focused. There will be two actors. That's not the information we have not shared before. And, you know, it's kind of going to be the way that I'm announcing this or whatever. People aren't going to be excited about this. But,
It's going to be a different tone from Hope End. So yeah, mm-hmm. if spooky is not your thing, this is going to be totally different.
Possibly more reflective, a more reflective experience, I suppose.
Interesting.
I am so intrigued.
Tati loves spooky.
I'm still going to be there, though.
Yeah, it's actually going to be an extreme haunt.
Yes. And we're gonna hire on jump out of a closet. It's in the nude. So,
Oh, that's terrifying.
All right, guys. Well, we really appreciate you being here on the show, especially Jonathan on your birthday. Ben, thanks for joining us too. Can't say it enough. Everyone listening, please take the trip to Azusa to play the Ministry of Peculiarities. Get Hope End underneath your belt. And then this future game, unnamed game, that's got to be a good one too.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We love your show and feel honored to be asked to be on it.
Thank you, guys. It's our pleasure to have you.
Hey, Kai, guess what?
No, don't say it. I need more time.
Break time is just about over.
But Tati, what if they want more?
They can tune into the next episode.
Next episode?
Of course. There's so many more escape adventures to share.
Well, what can they do between now and then?
They can like us on social media.
Share this episode?
Yes, absolutely.
And what if they are new to the show?
Then I think they should go back and listen to all the great episodes.
Awesome. And don't forget to send in your questions to us. And be sure to tune in soon for your next escape break.